Well, girls and boys and leaders, it's good to have you with us this morning. You're now enrolled into a wonderful organization. As I've often said before, Girls Brigade and Boys Brigade is not just something we find here in First of Hochul. It's something we find in many countries of the world. And so be proud of the fact that you're a member of a great organization. And this is the third year for the Girls Brigade. And to see the mass of girls, I think we're going to have to get worried in another 2 years. We're going to have to build an extension or something to the church. So congratulations, girls. In 3 years, so many of you have joined and others have stayed on. And so we'll hope next year to see another row being preserved and kept for you. Does anyone know how long the Boys Brigade has been going? Yes? Sorry? 15 years, right? Any advance? 70? Well, I think it's 60 years. 60 years the Boys Brigade has been going. So when somebody is celebrating 60, what do we call it? What do we call a celebration of the 60 years? Diamond, right? Diamond celebration. Well, there was a celebration about 3 years ago. Somebody was celebrating a diamond celebration. Do anybody know what it was, who it was? The Queen. The Queen was celebrating her diamond jubilee. And here we have celebrating her 60th year on the throne. And there were massive crowds came along to support her and to congratulate her on the things that she was doing. Whenever a couple get married for 60 years, they celebrate in their diamond wedding anniversary. And it's a wonderful celebration. And of course, they will have their celebration, they will have their cakes, and here's a cake to mom and dad from their family. A few months ago, I was preaching in another church and on the Sunday, and the following day, by date, there were two families that were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. Two sisters married in the same day, a double wedding, and the minister left me the marriage register, and so I was able to show them where they signed for their wedding day 60 years before. And one of the ladies said that she hadn't been to that church from the day of her wedding because they had moved to another part of the country. So it was a wonderful celebration. And whenever a couple are getting celebrating their wedding anniversary, they get all sorts of cards, and cards something like this here. May your special day be filled with joy as you celebrate 60 years of love and happiness. And then here we have another one. 60 years, this is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And here we have another one, the diamond anniversary, as we celebrate 60 years of marriage. And here we have another one. We have two hearts, one love, 60 wonderful years. And here we have another one, on your diamond wedding anniversary. And I could give you a whole lot more. They're not mine. And, of course, the grandchildren all like to send their granny and granda cards as well. And, of course, not only do you get cards from friends and family, but you also get cards on a special occasion like that from somebody else. Do you know who they get the card from? The Queen. Why would the Queen send you a card? Here we have, I understand that you will be celebrating your diamond wedding anniversary. May I extend sincere congratulations. This message comes with every good wish. Yours sincerely, Joan Christie. Does anybody know who Joan Christie is? Lord Lieutenant of County Antrim. There you are, the Lord Lieutenant of County Antrim. And here we have another one that is sent. And it says here, I'm so pleased to know that you're celebrating your diamond wedding anniversary. I send my congratulations and best wishes to you on such a special occasion, signed Elizabeth R. Who's Elizabeth R? It is the Queen. And so, as I said, these are not mine. These are from a couple belonging to this congregation, Tommy and Margaret Boyd. Congratulations. Celebrating 60 years of marriage together. Now, whenever a young lady gets engaged to a young man, what does she normally get? An engagement ring. An engagement ring is usually a diamond ring. And so here we have the engagement ring. And here we have somebody else's engagement ring. And here it is, of course, a sapphire stone set in a cluster of diamonds. Does anyone know what this is? A ring. You're too young to know what that is. What sort of ring is it? Eternity ring, yes. And there's always some dispute about when an eternity ring should be bought. Some say it should be after 40 years of marriage. Others say after 50 years of marriage. And some say it should be at the first anniversary of the wedding, because the promoters, those who want to sell these rings, say it should be the first year of anniversary. And others say it should, the husband should give it to his wife at the birth of their first child. So there's all sorts of arguments as when the eternity ring should be born, should be given to them. And of course, rich ladies like to wear this. Many of these ladies have these diamond necklace. And here, of course, we have this well-known lady again and all her jewelry and all her diamonds that she has. Does anyone know what that is? A pearl necklace. Pearls. Do you know where pearls come from? The sea. Well, near enough. An oyster shell. And here we have the pearl inside the oyster shell. And so that's how you get. So diamonds and pearls are precious stones and very expensive to buy, and we keep them very carefully. Gold is also very expensive, and it's a very hard-wearing metal. And of course, this is why wedding rings are made of gold. Have you ever seen a man doing this? Just last summer there, I was in Port Rush in the seaside. And here there was a man doing this. What's he doing that for? What's he doing? Looking for some metal, looking for something rich. And I saw this man that was in Port Rush. Every now and again he would stop and his wee spade, he would look for something. I'm not quite sure what he got. Maybe it was a Coca-Cola tin or something else, but we're not sure what it was. But here sometimes they find some rich old coins and things. As I said, 3 years ago, the Queen was celebrating her Diamond Jubilee. Do you know what the Queen received whenever she was being coronated as the Queen of England? She received a Bible. And the Archbishop said, "Your gracious Queen, to keep your majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God and the rule of the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords." And then the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland said, "Here is wisdom, this is the royal law, these are the lively oracles of God." The Bible is a wonderful book because it is nothing less than the written word of God. The author of Scripture is God Himself. And amazing, the invisible, otherwise unknowable God has revealed Himself to us, revealed Himself in writing. As the Archbishop had said, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Christians believe in the special revelation that God has made known to Himself in His Word. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So the Bible, then, is a divinely inspired word of God. And as such, it demands our attention like no other book. And we should read it, we should study it, and every girl in the girls' brigade, and every leader, and every boy in the boys' brigade, and every leader should read and study the Bible. Now, some people read and study one of these books. When you're reading and studying one of that, what are you doing? Any ideas? I know all your mums and dads are so handy, they don't need one of these books. But whenever you're going to maybe replace a leaking tap, or maybe going to do some decorating or some carpentry work, and so they have a DIY book, and so they see ideas and how they can do things in the home. This is for the handyman, not for the professional like does all the things professionally. And the handyman, a do-it-yourself book. But I've never seen a DIY book telling us how to get to heaven. This is the only DIY book that I have ever seen that will tell us how to get to heaven. And so this book really is the most valuable thing that this world affords. There's no book like the Bible. And being the very word of the living God, its message is like no other. For its message is the good news of salvation. Salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Solomon says that the truth of God's word is more precious than all gold or silver, precious stone. So it's very sad that many people do not think that the Bible is worth much at all. The Bible is the most precious book in the world because it tells us about the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus thought that many things in this book might be difficult for people to understand, and so he decided to tell a parable. And so Sam read two parables to us there this morning. A parable is a simple story to help people understand a very important truth. And so these two parables tell us something the same. In those days, there were no banks and nowhere to keep things safe. And so quite often they would hide it in the ground, in the garden, or the field. Where do you hide your secret things? Where do you put them? Under the bed? In a cupboard? And so, if you want to hide something from your brother or from your sister, yes? Put it in all over the place. So we find that whenever we want to hide something, we put it somewhere that nobody else, and mom and dad or others, can't see it. Well, of course, in the Bible times, they didn't have a bank to put their money in, and so they would hide it in the ground. And sometimes, enemies would come, robbers would come, they would run away, and thinking that they would come back again, but maybe they never were able to come back. Or maybe the man died and nobody knew where he kept his treasure. And so the parable is of a man digging, and he's searching, thinking that he might find, or maybe he found accidentally in that. And perhaps he found something like this, a treasure, a chest, full of gold and silver and all the things. And so he rejoices at finding, but he kept it a secret, and hoping to make use of it. And so he carefully hides it again. And then what does the parable tell us? That he goes and he sells everything he has to buy that field. And so whenever he buys that field, then he is the owner of the field, and then the treasure is rightfully his own. But what does the parable mean? By the treasure, Jesus has in view the gospel. The gospel is the genuine treasure in comparison with all the earthly goods are worthless. And so the gospel is better than gold, is better than silver, is dearer than the whole world. A person can obtain the whole world, but if he does not have Jesus Christ in his life, he has nothing. In fact, he should be willing to sacrifice all earthly goods in order to obtain this treasure. But the gospel is hidden, and it is unknown to the person who only listens with his ears, but his heart has not changed. And perhaps this man, you can just imagine this man walking up and down this field or walking around the district, maybe for weeks, maybe for years, and they didn't know this treasure was hidden. In the same way, many people listen to the gospel for years, but they do not see the treasure that is in it until it enters into their heart. Notice two things. When the man found the treasure, he sold everything he had, and he did it with joy. What are we told? In his joy, he goes and sells all that he had and buys the field. Don't miss that word joy. Some people think that whenever we give Jesus Christ our lives, we lose our joy. But what are we told here? In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. The loss of all things is not sad. It is gain for Christ. And this is why in our second prayer reading that Jessica did, that we are found that the Apostle Paul said, he said, whatsoever gain I have, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. I count everything at loss because of the surpassed worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. So in this parable, the man sells everything he has so that he can have the kingdom. And in Philippians, where Paul suffers the loss of all things that he might gain Christ. So the point is self-selling everything in this parable is simply to show where your heart is. What does the Bible tell us? Where the treasure is, there your heart be also. So Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is like treasure. When we find salvation, we are so happy that we give up everything to have that salvation. And in the second parable, we're told that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had to buy it. And so the parable again explains the kingdom as something exciting and something very valuable. And that is the reason why Jesus compares the kingdom to a treasure. There's nothing more precious than the kingdom of heaven. So this is the point of the parable of the pearl. The merchant was able to sell, see the value of the pearl, and when he found that he sold everything he had to buy it. God's kingdom is the greatest treasure of all. Jesus is the greatest find of all. He is so valuable that all our treasure becomes worthless in comparison. The treasure and the pearl represent Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. And while we cannot pay for our salvation by selling all our worldly goods, once we have found the price, then we are willing to give up everything to possess it. In both parables, the treasures are hidden, indicating that spiritual truth is missed by many. Notice that the merchant stopped seeking pearls once he found this one. And here we find the cost. Jesus Christ went to the cross. This is the price, and that is what he's paid. Jesus Christ has paid for our salvation. He emptied himself of the glory, came to earth in the form of a man, and he shed the precious blood on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and here's the best known verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God loves you, and he loves me. That is the wonderful news. Here we have someone who gave from heaven. God gave his Son so that we might be able to get to heaven. God sent his Son down from heaven so that we might get back to heaven. Let us then give up everything that we treasure to get there. Nothing that we own can be so precious. The gift of eternal life is the most wonderful thing that we can ever have. And so, every boys' brigade boy, every girls' brigade girl, and each and every one of us should give up everything that holds our attention. Whether we try to build up our barns here in this world, we should give it up so that we might have the life that Jesus promised to give us. In Deuteronomy 7 and 16, God says that we are his treasured possession. Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. So you are my treasured possession. Just think of yourself. When you look at yourself in the mirror, when you look at yourself in the bathroom, and look at yourself in the mirror, just say to yourself, God says, you are my treasured possession. That is a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful experience. We also are told that Jesus loves you. You are God's own special treasure. Just think, God looks at us as something that he treasures, and he looks at us and loves us. He holds us close to his heart as something special. Do you see yourself as someone special? I know you're special to your mom and dad, but let us remember that you're special to God. You're special to Jesus Christ. Just think of how special you are to his heart. You see yourself as a beautiful treasure who are to God. Every human is treasured by Christ, no matter where we live, no matter who we are, no matter what color our skin, no matter where we, what language we speak, we are precious to God. He has dreams for our lives. He wants us to use us and transform our lives. And so may each and every one of us realize that salvation is a wonderful treasure. We should search for it. And when we have found it, we should be willing to surrender anything that will hold us back, that we might follow Jesus Christ. And then remember that we then become His treasure possession, and He will keep us safe and secure for eternity. So let us leave our service today thanking God the way that Jesus loves us, and we are His treasured possession, and that we will give up anything and everything so that we might have Him and so that we might follow Him. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for these parables in the Bible indicating to us and showing us again the wonderful treasure. And we thank You for all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And we thank You for His willingness to go to the cross to be our Savior. And so we pray that each and every boy and girl, leader and young person, and man and woman, and grannies and grandas in this church today, that we might see that God has given His everything for us, and that we might be willing to give us everything to Him, and that we might surrender our His lives to Him. So we pray that today will be a special day when we will remember, yes, we rejoice with those who celebrate a diamond celebration, but we rejoice that Jesus Christ says that we are also His treasured possession. For it's in His name we ask it. Amen.